On three continents, salmon farming in sea cages is endangering the ecosystem. In British Columbia on the west coast of Canada, sea lice, pollution, and escapes are endangering the last of the wild salmon runs. You are about to hear a speech from a salmon panel discussion, challenges, and possible action. This panel was organized by the Reverend Lois Boxhill of Christ Church Cathedral and held in that historic building in downtown Vancouver on April 27, 2010. Three of the four speakers were recorded by Alex Smith of Radio EcoShock. They are available as free MP3 downloads from ecoshock.org on the Oceans page of the Audio On Demand menu. You're about to hear a remarkable speech by Chief Simon Lucas, Hereditary Chief of the Hesquiat Band, Vancouver Island. Chief Lucas began to protest the destruction of wild fisheries in the late 1960s. In this moving talk, Chief Lucas explains the ongoing destruction of the fisheries and his people.
Okay, so next up is Kwatiski's Dr. Simon Lucas. Thanks, Simon. Simon is the 7th ranking hereditary chief of the Hesquiat Band of Hot Springs Cove, Vancouver Island. In a piece that appeared in the Fisherman newspaper in 1988, Chief Simon Lucas wrote, quote, "I have a vision of the future for the west coast of Vancouver Island. And it is a vision, too, in my grandfather's eyes and in my grandchildren's eyes. In my vision, our communities thrive and prosper through the careful management, sharing, and use of fisheries and other resources like they once did. You see, my vision is not based on the survival of salmon, but on the thriving of wild salmon. My vision is not based upon the survival of our people and our communities, but on their thriving. Most importantly, my vision is based on the complete interdependence between our people and wild salmon. After reading this piece, I knew that our panel would be lacking if we could not take counsel from this wise and gentle elder. Chief Lucas played an instrumental role in the restoration of the Hesquiat community after a devastating tidal wave in 1963, and helped reconstruct the band's physical infrastructure, as well as instituted a revival of the cultural elements of the community and its people. As a coastal co-chair of the BC Aboriginal Fisheries Commission and executive board member of the Aboriginal Council of BC, Chief Lucas was declared an elder at age 40 for his unique ability to draw people together for the common cause of rebuilding natural resources. His wealth of knowledge on environmental issues, encompassing both traditional Aboriginal teaching and modern fisheries science, is only surpassed by his willingness to share them. Simon was awarded the title of degree of Doctor of Laws, honoris causa, from UBC in 2002, and has worked with the UBC's Fisheries Center, providing counsel to leading academics in the field of Aboriginal fisheries. An avid fisherman, Chief Lucas has always maintained a strong cultural and spiritual link with his community through fishing. And so without further ado, Simon, we welcome you and look forward to your sharing from your wisdom about the interplay of industrial fisheries and indigenous coastal communities.
Thank you. Quite often when I get invited to any kind of gathering, I always think that I got to write something new or say something new. But it never happens that way, because I have thought about what my grandfather always said to me. And my name is Kwatiski's from Haimaizit within Hesquiat tribe. I was born at a cannery which was operated by an Canadian fishing company in a place called Nootka. And it was there that right away I was introduced to families from Mohawk tribe. And the name I was given was Ha'winanul, which means wrapped in chieftainship. Ha'winanul. Well, Father Sheen, who was the pastor at that time, as my dad and mom if I was going to get a name. And my dad said he already has gotten a name on the day that he was born, Hawi Nanuth. Well, Father Sheen unfortunately said, it has no meaning. I can't understand what it means. So I'd like to baptize your son. Thus I became Simon Lucas. You know, I haven't the slightest clue what that means. But I know what Hawinanut means. That it was a name that has existed for eons. Probably since the beginning of time for us. Hawinanut. So I want to start off by going back to 1979. And it was there that probably the second time that I demonstrated against anything. And it was dealing with the fisheries opening in Friendly Cove of gillnet herring. And this was the second time that I was to see it. But the first time, just the first time I saw it was in a place called New Charlotte. We flew up there the day before they opened the gillnet herring. Ron Hamilton and I were standing beside the Chief Michael, standing between the two of us, and he asked us the question. He said, what are they doing? Don't they know that they're doing harm to those Klusmit herring? They're going to lay their little ones. Nobody else does that. We're the ones that know right and wrong. What are they doing? They're gillnetting when they're about to spawn. I never thought that was going to become so humongous that you couldn't stop it. Nobody could stop it. So that was 1979, we decided that we were going to stop the gillnet fishery in Friendly Cove. There was 12 of us with a whole bunch of commercial gillnet herring fishermen. We pulled the gillnets out of the bay. Some shots were fired at us because we thought that it was the right thing for us to do was support Chief McQuinna. I don't want gillnet herring fishery in that little bay, which is only but 200 yards wide. That was the... I never forget that night, because that night we were gathered in Ray Williams' house. And an elder from the tribe got up and started talking about the first alien ever to step on land in Friendly Cove, Captain Cook. And he started talking about the last night that they were there. I never forget that man's description of the last night. He said the orators from that tribe all stood up. And the first one that spoke went on. The day that we understand is going to change forever. The foods that we ate is going to change forever. The way we talk to our Creator is going to change. The way that you're clothed is going to change. Your grandfathers are going to lose the great teachings. Young people are going to no longer hear the great teachings of elders. So he went on and on. He told Captain Cook, go back where you came from. I don't see a bright future for my people. Man, that man was absolutely true. Because when Captain Cook went back to his homeland, what do you think that he talked about? You should have seen the forests that I seen in the longhouse that we were in. Smelled horrible, but there was fishes of different kind, herring. So ha salmon, so it coho. They knew who they had to send over. They knew that they had to change the minds of people that lived there for eons. First, we got to change their values. We got to make them believe that the way they worship is heathenistic. They can't be going swimming into the ocean and into the rivers. Those are heathenistic. That has been since Captain Cook. And it is just now starting to turn back around. So if we don't take control of some things, you don't want it to last 300 years before it changes. About 1895, residential schools were created totally against the will of the grandfathers and grandmothers, but it became law. It doesn't matter if the Indian people have values. It doesn't matter if they have any ethics. No, we got to bring their children. We got to educate them. That took 110 years to correct. 110 years to correct. You can't leave things idly too long. The Depression of 1929. I don't think any of us there. But my grandfather, I asked him about the Depression. He said he was 60 years old. Do you know that my people from Heskut and the other tribes, coastal tribes, didn't even know that a depression existed? Because they were still thriving off the lifelines of our people. The ocean, the air, the land, lakes and rivers and streams. Still very much living off the resources. The greatest change that I've seen in my time is probably around 1956. By this time, I'm living on another reserve called Ihadisit, a place called Queen's Cove. It was my first introduction of someone called, there comes the Indian agent. He's visiting every house. That's clear in my mind because my mother had on the stove codfish heads. And just prior to the Indian agent getting to the house, she took the codfish heads off the table, put into the back room. He came in there with a pen and pad. My dad and mom were sitting there. I want to know what you're eating, Mr. and Mrs. Lucas. On this wall here, loaded with preserved fish. Boxes and boxes of dried salmon, coho, sockeye, halibut. My mother was proud. I never forget the response my mother got. "You poor Indians, you're living on nothing but fish." That's just a mere few years ago, 1956. Now we're suffering. We're in the melting pot of British Columbia and Canada. We're suffering from that day where the guy didn't understand my mother and dad's values. We now have the highest rate of heart condition. We have the highest suicide rate. We have the highest liver and kidney problems. The fastest rising diabetics rising in New Chinese territory and other Indian communities. Nobody stood up. Nobody stood up and said, "Hey, what you're preaching to those people isn't right." I never forget the debate that our women were having. "What do you mean we shouldn't be feeding our babies through our breasts? What do you mean we should feed them cow's milk?" For eons and eons, our people were living off their mothers. One day somebody comes in, "We're going to keep you healthy. We're going to feed you cow's milk." Healthy, all right. We're dying of sicknesses. Yesterday, lady dies of liver problems. In 1960, our people fought for the right to purchase alcohol. Long story. If they had listened to the elders, we would have never known about such things as alcohol fetal syndrome. And the list goes on, the disease we've gotten from there. So I don't have the right to tell my nephews, "Quit your job. They're working in a fish farm." I don't have that right. Because they have to feed their children. But I have the right to say what our ancestors believe. Who we? Be careful. We Yamajishkwahatupat. You can't put anything foreign into the ocean. We Xaminishkwisnatsa. We never, ever in our lifetime saw anybody do that. So it's taken us 50 years to find out the health situation of New Chinese people. I warn you, if you keep putting foreign objects into the ocean, 25 years has gone by, your grandchildren are going to suffer the consequences. My grandchildren, today, 6 years to this year, we haven't had herring roe spawn in our territory. Some scientists keep telling us that, your stock is on the east coast of Vancouver Island. They wouldn't believe us that each herring, like you and me, have their own families. What our ancestors believe. They literally fished out our territory. Fished out that we no longer can have herring roe. 6 years has gone by. So we stand proudly to say, Mother Earth, My, how much damage we do to Mother Earth to proudly stand up and say, Mother Earth, but we never ever call her mom. The most precious gift of all for all of us. So the lifelines that our people talk about, the ocean, the land, the air, rivers, lakes, all of those at one time in 1929, our people didn't even know that there was people committing suicide. Thank you.
Thank you, Simon. So 5 minutes of clarifying questions for Simon.
I base my hope on my own family and that other families. In the last 5 years, my wife and I have been totally dealing with our own family, which numbers quite a bit, and teaching them all of values about what a soha means, what the salmon mean to us, that we survived, what the clam means, that our people survived off clams for years. You know, they done a dig in Heshquit, archaeologic dig. They went down, I don't know how many feet, but all during that time, they say we're digging clam shells. So I think that there is hope because there's enough people now standing up, but we need to get together more often.
That was Chief Simon Lucas, Hereditary Chief of the Heskwit Band on Northwestern Vancouver Island, Canada. He spoke at the Salmon Panel Discussion, Challenges and Possible Action, organized by the Reverend Lois Boxhill of Christ Church Cathedral and held in that historic building in downtown Vancouver. Three of the four speakers were recorded by Alex Smith of Radio EcoShock. They're available as free MP3 downloads from ecoshock.org on the Oceans page of our Audio On Demand menu. Thank you for listening.